Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil is here with us as well.
I got you.
You got it?
I got it, yeah.
All right, out of bed.
Here we go.
We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and those guys will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Before we get back into free agency stuff, trade stuff with the Kings, let's get out to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. It's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We got TC. He's got a trade for us. TC, what do you got?
Yes, sir. Hammer, Kyle, you guys got me. What's up?
Yeah, we got you. What's up, TC?
Hey, let's check it out. So, Hammer, hey, so I'm thinking about Portland, right? And I'm thinking about just a swap, not a three-team trade. I know it sounds crazy, but it's not crazy, and I'm dead serious. I'm trading Domas to Portland, and it works for Jeremy Grant, Dybul, and Chris Murray.
It does work.
Everybody's like, oh, the brothers, and all. But listen, he's another wing guy that we can turn the key in, and they work good together. Dybul, defensive guy, and also Jeremy Grant. I think that's kind of a win for both sides.
All right. Very good. Thanks, TC. Appreciate it. I get the theory on that, but I don't think Dybul is like a viable regular rotation player anymore. I think that ship has sailed a little bit. Chris Murray is just okay. And again, I don't hate the idea of trying to add wings and wing depth, but Chris Murray is not a... he played 15 minutes a night across 69 games last year, 4 points, 2.6 boards and assist. Not like this elite electric defender. We've talked about Jeremy Grant and the money before. If I'm making that deal, it's got to include picks. And I don't know that Portland's going to be into that. TC's deal, James.
Okay.
Was Jeremy Grant, Matisse Dybul, and Chris Murray for Domas?
No.
And if they're doing that, it's like multiple first-round picks coming back, too.
Well, that...
It's because that's not like, oh, man, good young players to build around. I don't know. I'm not super moved by that.
No, you're getting way older and way less talented. Like, that's a problem facing the Kings. Like, you had De'Aaron Fox, right? And he had got to an all-star level but had not made it over the hump, right?
Mm-hmm.
You added a second all-star. You didn't want to wait to see if Tyrese Halliburton would be an all-star or see if Halliburton and Fox could work together and both be all-stars. But when you went out and traded for Domantas Sabonis, a multi-time all-star at that point, and then brought him in, you instantly won 48 games. Mm-hmm. Like, having a star-level player... Not superstar, but star-level player, is the way NBA teams are built. That is how you get to the playoffs. That is how you win basketball games. Mm-hmm. And trading, again, a star-level 29-year-old player, 28 going on 29-year-old player for a non-all-star 30-something-year-old player that almost makes it the same amount of money, well, a little bit less, but like $8 to $10 million less. I'm just not doing it.
No, I don't think, like I said, I'm not, unless the Blazers are giving you like unprotected firsts back or something like that, I don't.
Yeah, but there's two reasons you trade Domas.
Yeah, well, you go then.
Okay, there are two reasons you trade Domas. Number one, you're trading him for another all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you're trading him because you're going to be really bad and you're taking on... you're getting a bunch of first-round picks and not a lot of long-term salary.
Mm-hmm.
So you can at least have a reset and a free agency in the near future. Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems the Kings have at this point. Like when you've got Zach LaVine and you've got Domantas Sabonis and then you're going to have to pay Keegan Murray, there's going to be this perpetual cycle where you're not underneath the salary cap, where you cannot go out and be a free agent player. You can sign a mid-level guy for $14.1 million, but you're not going to be a true salary cap team.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the only way to do that is to trade both LaVine and Domas, and then but not at the same time, and trade them for expiring contracts that you can get off of this next summer, and then you walk into summer with, I don't know, $80 million or $65 million in salary cap space, and you try to go out and land your star that way. And then the reality hits that you're Sacramento and you can't land a star that way, and okay, now what do you do?
Right.
So that's the problem. And in doing that trade, you would, of course, bring back a ton of draft capital, at least for Domas, not for Levine, in my book. Levine.
I'm so interested to see if there's a trade market for Zach LaVine. Because Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype reported today, FYI, breaking news, everybody, lock in. NBA executives are monitoring the Kings, quote-unquote, his words, not mine, big three. The availability of Domantas Sabonis, Zach LaVine, and DeMar DeRozan, with the belief they'll look to trade at least one of them. And like, duh. Is that... obviously?
Yeah.
That doesn't ring like news to me. But I do wonder what Zach LaVine's trade value is, or if he has any. Because he played a lot of games last year.
And he was super efficient.
And he was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I could see a team talking themselves into Zach LaVine in a way that they wouldn't have been able to after coming off 28 games or whatever he played the year before.
Yeah, I mean...
I just don't think he's like this wholly untradeable, like, oh my God, Bradley Beal type of asset anymore.
Well, that, and I think the one thing that really helps you with Zach LaVine's trade value is, we talked about this before, he shot 51.1% from the field and 44.6% from three. Mm-hmm. Like, his efficiency as a scorer, also 82.5% from the free throw line. But it should be noted that in Chicago, he shot 51.1% from the field and 44.6% from three. And in Sacramento, he shot 51.1% from the field and 44.6% from three. His numbers are identical in Sacramento and
that's crazy.
Chicago. Well, why that matters is because those systems are totally different. Those players that you're playing with are totally different. The style is totally different. Everything is different. And Zach LaVine didn't change. Mm-hmm. And if you're a team out there who goes, okay, I could really, even if it's for a couple of years, I could really use a top-end scorer. And not some top-end scorer that's just a mad chucker. A top-end scorer that has figured out how to be efficient and how to be a really good player. Mm-hmm. I think there are teams out there that would look at Zach LaVine in a different light this year than they did last year. But last offseason, when Zach had only played like 25 games, there were rumors that the Chicago Bulls were willing to attach two first-round picks to anyone who would take his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Right.
So, and at that point, he had 2.5 years left on his deal, or 3 years left on his deal then. Now he's down to 2 years, and I think Zach LaVine has value as matching salary and if you're going to go chase a mega deal. Now, it could be Zach LaVine and three first-round picks, and I'm not saying it's for Jason Tatum, but Zach LaVine and three first-round picks for, you know, Ja Morant or for Trae Young, a player who's on a longer-term deal that the other team wants to get out from underneath and wants to start over. That's always a possibility.
Yeah, in a way that it very much wasn't this time last year.
No, it was not this time last year. So,
I want to do something real quick, just while we're on the topic. Let's run through Kings who are under contract for next year. We know Sabonis and LaVine and DeRozan. Murray, help me out. Keon. Carter.
That are under contract for next season.
Yeah. Valanciunas.
Valanciunas. DeRozan.
Yep, got him. I have the big three.
Isaac Jones has they have a team option on Isaac Jones.
Yeah, we'll call it Isaac Jones.
Malik Monk?
Oh, Monk, of course.
Okay.
Natch. That's 2, 4, 6, 9.
Yeah, that's where I think that's correct.
Okay. Domantas Sabonis on the team. Night one of next season.
Personal opinion?
Of the 2025-2026 season.
I believe he is.
Believe he is. I think
Joe,
he'll be on the team.
You believe he is?
Yep.
I also think he's going to be. Whether you think he should be or not is irrelevant. I don't think the Kings are going to want to move him for what they would be getting for him in the open market, because here's the thing with trading Domas, and this is kind of what you were saying earlier. A team is going to be acquiring him as like we're a contender, and we think that dropping this guy onto our team with these surrounding pieces are going to make us an even better contender.
Mm-hmm.
In that deal, you're getting salary filler and picks. You're not getting better this year.
No, you're not getting better.
So that's why we've kept saying trading Domas means like tear down.
Yeah.
We're starting over. And to your point, making predictions, I don't think Vivek wants to do that. I don't think Vivek brought in Scott Perry to say, blow this up and let's do this over again. He said, hey, we have a pretty good roster here. I wanted Zach LaVine. I think Zach LaVine's a good player. I think you can pair him with Domas, so let's build around that. I think that's why Scott Perry was brought here.
Yeah, and then I would also say the ugly truth about if you're trading Domas to a team that is a contender, that is trading for mm-hmm. Domas for a specific reason, to be mm-hmm. really, really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think those draft picks look like?
Right.
That's not trading with the Sacramento Kings and hoping that the Kings fall apart and you're mm-hmm. going to get great draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the Minnesota pick in 2031 that the Kings have. It's unprotected. That could be a genius pick.
It could be.
Yeah, because there's a possibility that Anthony Edwards won't be on that team by then.
Sure.
That he will be like, hey, I'm out of here. And that team could be a 25-win team, and you're like, woohoo, we got a
They could also be title three. Contenders.
They could also be title contenders.
But that pick has value for exactly what you're saying.
At San Antonio in 2027, that pick is gold. Because as mm-hmm. of right now, yeah, Victor Wembanyama, yeah, yeah. We don't know what they're going to be in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They could still not be ascending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had health problems.
Sure.
You don't know if De'Aaron Fox is the right fit or not. You don't know if Castle takes a step.
Plus, the Spurs might just win the lottery any year.
Yeah. If you have a Spurs pick, you've done well because they could win the lottery.
All right. So, Domas on the team. LaVine? I think he's on the team.
I think he's going to be on the team as well.
I'm going to make a bold prediction and say I think he is not.
Really? Because Scott Perry doesn't want him?
I just think that this summer there's going to be a trade out there that materializes that makes that the Kings can take a big swing.
Mm. Okay. Very good. DeMar DeRozan?
No.
It's a no for
me. Nope.
I think they're going to... Because I don't know what 36-year-old DeMar DeRozan's trade value looks like. But I don't know how many teams are falling over themselves to get DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't say that as like teams don't want him, but like giving up major assets to get him. And I think the Kings are just going to like, whatever you can get, we got to move on
okay.
and do something different.
So I think there's two ways, again, this is different for DeMar. I think there are two ways in which DeMar gets traded.
Okay.
The first is that DeMar is part of a much larger package for somebody. Right, so you're throwing in a Valanciunas, or you're throwing
sure.
in,
okay.
you know, we're talking a $30 to $40 million player, and DeMar is a piece to that, and you're adding picks. The other option that I see with DeMar is going to a veteran team that has players that are slightly younger that just aren't fitting, and so maybe two players. So again, if you're looking at the Lakers, could I see DeMar for? I don't know, say like Rui Hachimura and Dalton Connect.
Oh my God, sign, seal, delivered.
And then the Kings would have to, like a second round pick. Or could you see DeMar to the Miami Heat for, I've said this one, but Jaime Jaquez and who's their shooter that's either in the rotation?
Duncan Robinson.
Right? So the salaries match up and mm-hmm. you're making like a move where you're collecting maybe a younger player and maybe a player who's not as good as DeMar,
mm-hmm.
but you're getting some potential for growth, mm-hmm. right? And maybe the Rui Hachimura don't connect is a little too high, but again, they tried to trade those guys. Well, they at least tried to trade Dalton Connect.
Sure.
They had him traded. I could see a trade in which that happens. And again, I don't, Rui Hachimura has his own issues, but as a player, but I definitely could see ways in which they would move him. And that you could get back value. Rui Hachimura is $18.25 million for next season. And that's his, he's a free agent after that. And, you know, again, Dalton Connect is on a rookie scale, second year rookie scale. I could see something like that. I could see, you know, again, if the Kings just want to dump salary and then come back with a young player, I could see them taking on Maxi Kleber and Gabe Vincent along with Connect.
Maxi Kleber.
Yeah, Kleber. Yep. So I could see that being, again, those are two expiring contracts and letting DeMar go. There are a lot of ways to trade DeMar, like a lot of packages like that. And then the other is you're going to trade DeMar for a big deal. I don't think that you have to just like say, oh, DeMar is horrible. I don't believe that at all, that DeMar has no trade value.
I
he doesn't
agree.
Have like major positive trade value. You're not getting a first round pick and something for him.
But like you might. And that's why it's interesting to me. Yeah. I don't think teams are going to be like, we don't want him. And DeMar DeRozan is going to be on the Kings. No, I think he's going to get moved.
Yeah.
And I think he probably wants to get moved given how last season went. We'll continue doing this. There's a couple of really interesting DeMar DeRozan trade ideas in the Chatty House. And of course, if you throw a trade idea at us, we're going to talk about it. You can do so in the Chatty House at youtube.com/ESPN1320, or you can hit us on the Oak Grove Kia talk line. That's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 on the Oak Grove Kia talk line if you'd like to talk Kings off season. Who's on the roster next year? Who's not? We'll talk about that next. We'll continue that discussion on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, that's Joe, I'm Kyle. I will not talk about movie soundtracks.
You should listen on your way home today to the soundtrack from Singles.
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 You said it's a lot of grunge?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Are you not a grunge guy at all?
Eh.
Oh, I am. I'll do it.
Of course Joe is.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're talking.
You look like, nah, you know.
No.
You look like if Seattle in 1993 was a person.
That is awesome. I love that.
You throw a flannel on Joe.
There it is.
Okay, so we've got Alice in Chains in this. We've got Soundgarden. We've got Pearl Jam. We've got Pearl Jam again. We've got Chris Cornell.
Oh, dude.
Mother Love Bone, Love Mongers. It's spectacular.
Okay, I'm listening to
I'm
that.
I'm not going to get... I don't want to do the... I'll tell you off air what my...
What your soundtrack is?
What my grunge... Not issue.
Oh.
But just... It's just a lot of stuff that nobody probably cares about. I'll talk about it at the break if you want to tap in. If you want to find out, youtube.com/ESPN1320.
We're going to argue over grunge
music. We talk through the breaks. Okay. No, not arguing. Not arguing. I'm not anti-grunge. Like, I understand the appeal of it. I just personally don't love to listen to it, and we can talk about why at the break. You threw out a DeMar DeRozan trade idea at me during the last break.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar DeRozan for whom?
Bogdan Bogdanovic and Derek Jones Jr.
Did you run this through the trade machine?
No, I can look at the contracts and know that it would work.
your mental trade machine?
I don't need it.
I love this.
I am the trade machine.
That's incredible. Okay, so we have...
I don't think you can get that deal. I think the Clippers say no, but you're looking at Bogey at $16 million and Derek Jones at $10 million. It works 100%.
Man, I would do that so fast. It's not even... I might attach a pick for that.
Bogey as a team option for the following year.
Bogdan is not that good anymore. I wouldn't attach a pick. That's crazy. But I would do that really fast.
Yeah, but he's a rotational player. You know,
yeah.
Even for like what the Kings are doing right now.
Can he be a point guard for you?
Yeah, he could be your backup point guard.
Okay. What did he average last year? He's 11, 2.5, and 3 last year.
Yeah, he shot 42.7% from 3, 47.4 with the Clippers. His numbers with Atlanta were not good.
I think I would take Bogdan and Derek Jones Jr. for, like you said, I don't think the Clippers would do that. But I would do that quick as hell if I'm the Kings.
Yeah.
If you can get two rotational players for a player that doesn't want to be on your team anymore, Yes. 1,000%.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer yes for me. Had a couple of other DeMar DeRozan trade ideas in the chatty house, and we'll get to those, but we got to hit the Elk Grove Kia talk line first. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. It's the homie Bronson. What's up, Bronson?
Kyle James, happy Wednesday, guys. How we doing?
Happy Wednesday, brother.
Good, what's man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Another day to be alive. I had some thoughts about our DeMar DeRozan trade scenarios and if even the money would be possible if we traded DeMar for a sign-in trade with Kuminga. Maybe being able to make our roster bigger in size, pair him and Keegan Murray. Is that even a possibility in your guys' eyes? James, I don't know if you can with the sign-in trade with DeMar 2 years in a row, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on something like that.
Awesome. Thanks, Bronson.
Technically speaking, I think you can. I think it would once again hard cap the Kings, I believe, by making that deal.
You said Kuminga?
Yeah, Kuminga.
Yeah, because he's a restricted free agent. So
yeah, he would be a sign and trade. Yeah. So I believe I gotta have to look at the exact dollar amounts where the Kings are at right now for salary wise. But yeah, I'm gonna say that that's difficult. And I also like I'm not really high on Kuminga, and I understand like the forward combination and all that stuff. But and I also like that you're getting, you know, like 12 years younger in the trade. But I just don't know that that works for either team. You know, again, like getting hard capped is one thing, which again, the hard cap is at the first apron. Mm-hmm. So you're way far away from right, that. The Kings haven't proven that they would go into the luxury the tax, yeah. Let alone get up to the first apron. But I do, when I look at that trade, I just don't think DeMar fits what the Warriors do at all.
No. And it, when Steph Curry goes down, like, yeah, you'd love to have DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he fits either way. Can we talk about Jonathan Kuminga just for a second?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm out, bro. I want this to be really clear because this is a difficult, like, a lot of these conversations about Jonathan Kuminga happen on the internet where nuance goes to die.
Yeah.
But there's nuance to this because I think Jonathan Kuminga is a really, really, really good player.
Mm-hmm.
There are not a lot of dudes who are, he's still 23, going on 22, going on 23,
mm-hmm.
or just turned 23, something like that. He's still very young in his developmental process, right? And there aren't that many dudes who are 20, yeah, he's still 22, he'll be 23 at the start of next year, who are that young, who have spent 4 years in the league and have his level of potential. He is an incredible talent. Just when you look at the ability to put the ball on the deck and go score, his leaping ability is crazy. The defensive upside is nuts. Like we've watched Jonathan Kuminga guard Jason Tatum one-on-one credibly. Like that's not that easy to do. On the other hand, despite the fact that Jonathan Kuminga is a really, really, really good player, I don't think he's ever going to be a winning player because I don't think he's interested in being a winning player. Like he wants to win, of course. And he tries his, here's the other thing I always say, he tries his ass off.
Yeah.
He tries and works so hard. I don't want this to come across like Jonathan Kuminga doesn't work hard. No, he does. He just doesn't work hard at the right things. Jonathan Kuminga, if he was going to be a winning player, would have carved out a niche because the Warriors need him.
Mm-hmm.
He would have carved out a role on the Warriors. Anthony Slater just wrote about Cason Wallace, top 10 pick with Oklahoma City, who has found what his role is on this team, how he's going to get minutes, and he's going to play that role, defense, shooting threes, all that. He's going to play that role specifically. Jonathan Kuminga has never been interested in taking that on. He was never interested in being, this is just the name I pull because he's done this for the Nuggets and kind of revamped his career. Aaron Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He was not interested in being, I'm going to play the dunker spot. I'm going to slash. I'm going to knock down some corner threes. I'm going to get really good at shooting threes. I'm going to knock down corner threes. And I'm going to defend whoever they want to throw me at. And the fact that he's been unwilling to do that across 4 years and couldn't figure that out across 4 years leads me to believe that Jonathan Kuminga for his entire career is going to be a guy who scores a lot of points when given an opportunity. And he's not going to do the other little things that affect winning. And I just don't think that you can build a contender around a player who's not interested in doing the things that impact winning.
Yeah, so for me, like, look, the travesty of the NBA is that there are so many players that have been told their entire lives how great they are at everything and they can't do anything wrong. And there's a AAU culture. There's whatever culture you're working through as an NBA player, as an NBA prospect. You get to the league and either you are a star right away or you're not going to be a star. And the only way that you survive in the league is realizing that there is a role for you in the league if you can figure it out yep. and play to your strengths.
Yep.
And if you can't, you will never, ever, ever develop. And, you know, again, I think Kuminga is extremely talented, but I just don't buy it. I don't, he still thinks he will be a superstar. And the fact that, you know, it's somebody else's fault that he's not a superstar. It's not his. And there comes a point where you have to be a star in your role
mm-hmm.
and not think of yourself as a star. And if you become so good at your role that you become that star, that's one thing. But like, I don't see a team in the NBA is going to go out and bring him in unless it's a team that is so bad mm-hmm. that they got nothing else going on. You know, again, a Wizards or a Charlotte team that goes, you know what, why not? Let's just throw everything we got at this kid and give him the keys to the car and see what happens. I just don't buy it. And even still, he's got to become that star. Mm-hmm. Or he's always going to be a guy who thinks he's a star and takes bad shots and does things that don't make sense and mm-hmm. doesn't play defense the right way and gets caught in bad rotations and stuff. It's like a mindset, and it's why it's so much easier to find a Keon Ellis, somebody who is doing exactly what he did as a high school player, as a college player, as a G League player, and now as a pro player.
Mm-hmm.
And knows his role and who he should be and how he's going to stick on the court. It's so much easier to just go get that guy
mm-hmm.
than it is to go find a star or to take someone who thinks they're a star and try to convert them into something else, which mm-hmm. never works.
Yeah. I see a lot, and this is, I see a lot of people like, oh, he averaged 25 a night when he finally got to take over against Minnesota. Yeah, and they lost all the games.
Yeah.
They lost all those games. You talk about, I saw somebody else say, in a different system, he wants to be the system.
Yep.
That's it. If you're going to trade for Jonathan Kuminga, which is fine, if maybe that's what the Kings want to do, they go, hey, we're the team that's gonna maximize what he's, you're going to have to make him the focal point of what you're doing. You're not bringing him in alongside Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine, hey, and he's going to do all these things, because he's not.
No.
He wants to be a 1A, and maybe he will be someday. Maybe. Some team's going to give him the keys. He's going to go average 25 a night. And because of that, he's going to start playing great defense and he's going to do all this stuff. He's going to develop a 3-point shot. He's going to learn to be unselfish and all this stuff. Hope so. Would love that for him. It'd be amazing. He's still, like I said, he's 22, going on 23. The room is still there. And that's why teams are going to talk themselves into him. It's why the Warriors might talk themselves into him.
Yep.
Because Joe Lacob's going to go, well, Steve Kerr's not going to be here forever. And once he's gone, Jonathan Kuminga's going to, maybe.
It's just really, really difficult to, I mean, you look around the history of the league, there are so many of these players.
Yes.
And I think, again, if he gets traded to, if he goes to another team right now,
mm-hmm.
and again, it's a bad team, and he starts putting up 20 a night, and everyone's like, oh, see what's happened? Mm-hmm. Look at their win-loss record. That's realistically all that matters. So look at the win-loss record, and then look at efficiency, and you'll realize very quickly that, you know, like people here in Sacramento, you remember a name like Antoine Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Antoine Carr averaged 20 points a night for the Kings because they were bad. Rodney mm-hmm. McRae almost averaged 20 points a game for the Kings because they were bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a 20-point-per-game scorer on every team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, that you'll, like, he will think that he's fulfilled his potential. Mm-hmm. He gets up 23, 24 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if your team is winning 30 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not that. And so he won't embrace it, and that's why I don't think a lot of teams around the league are going to embrace him
mm-hmm.
in this free agency. I think a lot of teams are going to be very leery of him as a prospect,
mm-hmm.
And they don't care what numbers he put up in what playoff series or anything else.
And I first of all, R. Jonesy, don't come at me with, you guys don't follow the Warriors. Second of all, this is not strictly on the court between the lines during the season stuff.
No.
Talk to people who are plugged in with the Warriors about Jonathan Kuminga's off-season workouts. Like, this is not strictly related to what he does on the court.
Mm-hmm.
He has not developed the right way, not because of how the Warriors have played him. Like, they haven't been playing him because he's not been doing the stuff they've asked him to do.
Yeah.
And maybe he comes to the Kings, and maybe he would be awesome. Like I said, the upside is crazy. And if you came from the future and you said, hey, Jonathan Kuminga was a 10-time All-Star and a 6-time All-NBA guy, all right.
Okay.
Would not be stunned. I'd check that. I'd be a little surprised. But I wouldn't be like, oh, what? If you came and said, hey, Quentin Post is a 10-time All-Star, 6-time, I'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah, that never happened.
But if you told me that Kuminga developed it, it's like, oh, okay. Like, wow, you get it. I'm just, I personally don't want to bet on that upside, personally.
No. Yeah, and not only that, but I don't. I
might be wrong.
I don't think there's a point where he could become the third best player on a playoff team. He will never understand that he's the third best player on a playoff team. And that's always going to be the problem. Like, until he gets
okay, you're right. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, until he gets it that, like, look, in order to be great, it takes sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes being so good at the sport and working so hard at the nuances of the sport to be that player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing that I'm seeing from his development tells me that the light switch is going to go on. You're mm-hmm. a 30% three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You've had 4 years to get better on a team that shoots a million threes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting better. Mm-hmm. So that's again, there will be a team that pays him. I don't know if he's going to get what he thinks he might get, but... like, I don't, like, even if they pay him, it's probably going to be a bad team. And it doesn't, like, whatever he's doing is like, okay, that's sure. Fine. You're just a player who's putting up stats on a bad team.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm rooting for him for sure. Because like I said, it's not that he's not a good player. He is. Somebody mentioned the playoffs. Like, yeah, you don't. The dude came off not playing, not even being in the rotation, and scores like 18, 30, 23, and 26 in 5 playoff games.
Yeah.
It was, or 4 playoff games. 5? 5 playoff games? Whatever it was.
It was five.
He scored a ton of points.
Yep. And in that series.
That's why you talk about the upside and why it's enticing. It's just he's not, I'd put it a little bit on the Warriors for sure.
He averaged 20.8 points per game in that series.
Man.
Yeah.
And he's a really good, really, really, really good player.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think I would want to be the team that bets on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's tough.
Steve Kerr feels the same way, and he knows more about basketball than I do.
Yeah, it's really brutal because there are a lot of players, even like Isaiah Thomas. I love Isaiah Thomas. One of my favorite Kings to ever cover. Mm-hmm. Super honest at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, why is this happening? Well, this is why it's happening. Yeah. Like, he just tell you. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. Like, he's a guy who showed up at city council meetings, even though he's from Seattle, when the team was trying to relocate. He showed up and supported Kings fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Loved him. He goes to the Celtics and blows up, becomes, well, first to, you know, the Suns, who had 4 point guards,
mm-hmm.
and then to the Celtics, blows up on the Celtics. And then he hurt his hip, but he never really got another opportunity again to be a 1A, and that's because... not a lot of teams want to hand over all of the control of a team to a 5'10" point guard who is going to score 30 a game, but probably not be super efficient and all that stuff. So like we're talking about, that's it. Like Kuminga, a team is going to have to hand everything to him and say, okay, if you think you can do it, go to prove us that you can do it.
Be a 1A.
And I just don't think that there are going to be teams out there, unless they're really bad teams, that are going to hand the entire franchise over to someone and say, okay, go prove to us that you're the next, I don't know, even who he, like, it's not LeBron. I don't know what
Tracy
player.
McGrady, whatever, okay. Whoever it is.
Yeah.
Whoever it is. Interesting, this is related to the Kuminga discussion, but it's separate. It's over here. I do think there's an interesting thing to watch if and when Kuminga gets moved, or if and when he stays and Steve Kerr retires. If a different coach gets through to him a different way, because I do think that matters. I do think coaching matters a lot in that respect. And Golden State has a system that has worked for the better part of the last decade. And you have to fit into this cookie cutter thing. And maybe it was that specific cookie cutter that he couldn't fit into. And maybe He goes to some other coach who says, hey, you know what? We're going to untap your potential in this way. And it just does it.
Yeah.
And maybe it is all Steve Kerr's fault. But when the guys won four titles with a team and...
I'd like to have that Steve Kerr problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Like I said, rooting for JK, though. I don't think for the reasons that you said where... I don't think Golden State, if they're doing a sign and trade with Kuminga, I don't think it's for DeMar DeRozan. And for the Kings specifically, if he had been a more consistent like defensive presence on and off ball, and if he had been a more consistently willing passer, or a more consistent 3-point shooter, then I think it makes a ton of sense. Because I saw somebody say, hey, he's just got upside. The Kings have nobody with that level of upside. You just get him in the building. Okay. Like, I don't hate that. But if the Kings are going to try and build something with Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis, I don't think that style of player is necessarily what they're looking for.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what the offers are for him.
Yeah,
I am. I want to see if he gets paid like legitimate star or if he does not.
I will say this. Drew Down says, I think he's improved as a passer. He has. He definitely has. I don't want to... He's gotten better at the sport, just not, I think, in the ways that the Warriors wanted him to get better at the sport.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to ultimately stunt his growth in the NBA. Anyways, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Joe Brazil. The handoff is, my goodness, it's already 11:40. The handoff is coming up next with one of D'Lo or Casey. They're going to jump in here. We'll keep talking Kings offseason on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. He's Joe. About to have Kenny Caraway. It's big time. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. Kenny's going to join us for the handoff here in a second. I don't know. I think there's the whole developing players thing. Players, quote unquote, develop in the offseason.
Yeah.
At least from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr is not like hands-on developing players. There's player development coaches, but yeah, a lot of that stuff even happens during off seasons.
Well, that, and they've always had a really good player development staff, like in the past. Like the fact is, like developing players, it usually is like a player has to get to a certain point where they're ready to contribute, and then they have to contribute enough to continue to get more minutes. Right, like, yeah. Look at the way that Keon Ellis like found his way from being an afterthought, an undrafted free agent player, to a legitimate, you know, rotational NBA player, potentially a starting shooting guard. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Right, but you have to put in the work yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a skill that gets you on the court, and Keon has two skills. He's an outstanding defender, and he's one of the better 3-point shooters in the NBA.
Yeah, kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, it just has everything he's ever done is translated to the next level. So he's a great shooter at the college level. He's a great shooter at the G League level. Mm-hmm. He's a great shooter when he got a couple of minutes, and he's a great shooter when he got a ton of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things have translated, which, you know, he puts in the work.
Yeah.
So.
And he got those opportunities in garbage time. Hey, throw him out there. Oh, look, he played well. Okay, here's a few more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really been a thing that has happened a lot with Golden State. Kenny Caraway's here for the handoff.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's KC, Kenny Caraway.
Kenny Caraway, what's going on, man?
What's good, fellas? What's up, what's up, what's up, man?
Well, you know, just doing the thing. Anything we've talked about today that you would like to address?
Well. I was actually a little busy today. I didn't get a chance to check in on my insiders the way I normally do.
Okay, great. Would you like to talk about player development in the NBA? That came up via a trade idea for the Kings that involved Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you want to hear that from me. I put player development a lot more on the player than I do the organization.
That is 1,000% where we're at on that. Player.
You talked about Keon Ellis just now. Keon Ellis developed himself because, number one, he was aware of his team situation.
Exactly.
He said, this is how I'm going to get on the floor.
Thank you.
This is what I'm going to excel at. And we don't have no guys that can guard on the perimeter. I'm going to be the best perimeter defender out here. That's what's going to keep me in the league. That's what's going to give me minutes.
Yep.
I need somebody to knock down shots. I'm going to make sure my shot, which is already official, becomes even more official.
Yep.
And be ready for that. Be aware of that. Be ready as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Kuminga, I don't think his situation, I don't know if it has, I want to say it doesn't have anything to do with the Warriors, because the other part of that is the opportunity given.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Steve Kerr, I thought he could have played him a little bit more, especially when they needed a guy. So that's on them a little bit, but I'll let you finish.
Go ahead.
His mentality is on him. Kuminga's like, right. Why aren't you playing me? I'm going to go out there and get 30. How am I going to get on the floor and stay on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
They want me to be Scottie Pippen type of defender.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me figure that out. And let me make sure I'm the best defender I can be on a consistent basis, which is going to keep me on the floor, which in turn is going to allow me to get my buckets.
Right. Where I'll put this on Kerr, or the Warriors coaching staff just in general, and I guess Kerr is the head coach, is when you have a player who's that talented, at some point you feel like you'd go, okay, we're going to do this and be a little bit adaptable to make sure that we're maximizing this guy's skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to your point, the player has to figure out, I quote this once a show. Austin Rivers on his podcast always says, learn your role, change your life.
Yep.
That's learn your role in the NBA, change your life in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Kuminga's unwillingness to do that is the bigger part of this. But at the same time, Golden State has had this lottery pick for 4 years, and it's like, you haven't figured out a little bit of a way to maximize what he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit. He was playing better before he got hurt this year, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's this notion that players go to the offseason and they just exercise, and then they come back and they get with their coaches, and then the coaches tell them what to do. And here's how we're going to fix your jump shot. Like, no, all of that kind of stuff happens away.
Right.
Well, that,
like, once you get back, you're focused on, here's our system, here's our scheme. We're focused on refining that.
Like, I've watched the Kings invest a bunch of time in Kessler Edwards, right?
Sure.
And the coaching staff will tell you, every single one will tell you, he works so hard. Not only that, but like, what do you want me to do, coach? And mm-hmm. they'll say, we want you to do this, this, and this. And he goes and does it. And so there is this thing where, you know, a player comes in. He shows up to media day and he's ripped. He's 6'8", got a 7'3" wingspan, mm-hmm. can jump out of the gym. He has all of the tools. There are players that just can't translate all of the work they do and how hard they work. And then they get onto the court, and they just aren't good enough. Like, they can't think the game fast enough.
Mm-hmm. The NBA is hard.
It is. It's hard. And I look at Kuminga, and I think, okay, like, look, he has put up numbers. But Marvin Bagley's put up numbers, too. And, like, there are players that have so much talent that they walk on the court, and they average 14 points and 7 rebounds. You're like, oh, man, can you take the next step? And mm-hmm. the answer is no. Because they don't have that little thing inside them that, like, how do I get better as a player that fits his system, that gets on the court, mm-hmm. that can help a team win?
Yeah.
They can put up their numbers, but they can't help a team win. And that's where I'm always at with Kuminga. I just don't know that he can help a team win. And I know the investment is going to be so much money that if you don't know if he can help a team win and you're just gambling on that, you could just be throwing money down a well.
I don't want to say that. When I say this, I don't want to make it like I feel like he can't help a team win, because I don't know that. And we're in maybe in a different situation, you know, he has a different impact. But I've said it a number of different times before, Kuminga score points and they just seem like they're not impactful at all. Like, he'll score 24 and it's like, all right, whatever. Like, I remember in the playing game last year, Kuminga was playing well. And I think at one point in the second quarter,
he kind of kept him in the game,
And I was like, cool, Steph's not scoring.
Yeah.
Like, cool, let Kuminga shoot all night. If he wants to get 35, we're not losing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's, I feel bad for saying that about him because he's doing what you're supposed to do, get buckets or whatever.
Yeah.
But they just don't seem as impactful as you would want him to be. It's a weird feeling. I know this is going to get jokes and snickers and stuff like that, but listen to...
Not on this program,
listen,
sir.
Listen to the message. Listen to the message, maybe not the messenger. But I always think back to these clips I've seen. One of Sam Mitchell, he did it. But Bradley Beal does it a lot, where he gets with his AU team, and, you know, they're pretty good and, you know, some of the best players in that Midwest area or around the country. And he's coaching them, and he's telling them, and he's like, all you guys can score. Like, that's cool. Like, all you guys can score. You're getting buckets out here. In the NBA, what you thinking? You taking shots from me? Bradley Beal? I'm nicer than all you guys.
Right.
So the fact that you can get 30 and all this other stuff, that's cool. When you get to my team, if you're lucky enough to get to my team, you're not getting more shots than me because I'm better than all you guys. So what are you going to do to get on the court? And the message is so profound to me. Like, yeah, you can score here, but the goal is, if you're going to get to that level, how do I get on the court and stay on the court? And you're not going to get the 18 shots a night that you got in college or on your G League team or whatever. You might get five. What are you going to do with those five? And then what are you going to do when you don't have the shots to make an impact?
Rajah Bell does the same thing.
Yeah.
Rajah Bell, who, but from the other perspective, like, you don't just get to go into the league and be in the league. You have to be good at something. So we're going to be a really good defensive team. This is what he tells his AAU team. We're going to be really good at defense. We're going to be really good at making the right pass. We're going to be really good at taking the open corner three or whatever it is. And it's that same perspective.
You got to figure out. One of the guys who figured it out was Matt Barnes.
Yes.
Matt Barnes figured it out. Like, he was kind of between. He was like, oh, this was kind of early stages of a 3-and-D guy. Like, if I could just hit the corner three and, like, play really hard on defense, I might be able to stick around. He was around for like 10 years.
Yeah.
On a really good team.
I think the prime example, too, like what you're talking about, there, Bradley Beal played with Ben McLemore in AAU. They went all the way to like the what's it called? The Peach Basket Championship. Peach like, Jam, yeah, they're like, they were the stars, right? But, and both of them are top 7-8 picks in the draft. One of them had the capabilities to take another step, and one of them did not, despite having all of the physical tools. Both of them are, you know, like dynamic superstar athletes coming into the league. One of them figured out how to be in the league, and one of them didn't. And there's, it doesn't matter where you're drafted, there's a good chance. There's a reason why Ben McLemore dropped from like the number two pick in the draft, where everyone thought he would go, to where the Kings were drafting. And it's because during the interview process, there were teams that go, okay, he's not going to be able to make that leap. Like, we're not going to be able to get the answers out of, they weren't able to get the answers out of him that would show them a pathway to him being great. Where Bradley Beal, like, whether he's great now or he's like one of the worst contracts in the league, that doesn't matter. He's made so much money in the league because he is that good at basketball.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to see, like, the two players, same area, grow up in the same area. One of them makes it, one of them doesn't. And that's the league. It's
and
tough.
And to bring it full circle, I put that on the individual, not the team.
I agree.
The individual has to figure that out.
Yep.
And they've got to be accepting of that and embrace that.
The number one example in the NBA is Aaron Gordon, right? Drafted to be a number one guy, did that in Orlando, didn't work out, gets to Denver, and Denver's like, no, you're going to be awesome at cutting and shooting corner threes and playing defense.
Yeah, you're no longer the NBA dunk champion.
Yeah, and he's gotten paid off of that. Yeah, look at
and he's contributed to winning, contributed to a championship.
To a championship. He's stamped, titled, forever. Because he learned his role.
That's fine.
D'Lo and KC, they know their roles, and it's coming up noon to four.
I shoot. That's what I do.
Shoot or shoot.
Pass if you have to. Pass if it's the right play.
I shoot. I don't play defense, but I shoot. All right, that's what I do, all right?
The Bradley Beal of ESPN 1320. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. That's James Hamm. That's Joe Brazilli, produces this program. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're back tomorrow on ESPN 1320 at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people. See ya!